Good evening. It's good to be with you all this evening. My name is Aaron Vega. If this is your first time or if you're visiting, my name is Aaron Vega, pastor of Redeemer Bible Church. It's a joy to be with you all. I'm so glad that you came. I'm sure you came not to see me, but to see somebody about that high, maybe in that range, if you're visiting with us tonight. But that's okay. We're just glad that you're here to join us as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I just want, if you would allow me to have just a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes or so, to explain to you why we sing these songs and why we celebrate this season. And it comes one text in the Bible that helps us understand this is a very short verse in the Gospel of John. It's at the very beginning of the Gospel of John. If you've never read the Bible, I would suggest to you, start with the Gospel of John. You'll get to know Jesus Christ really well, and it will help you understand who he is and what he came to do and all that it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, just to help you out there. But in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, in verse 4, it says simply this: in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's so short, I want to read it again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This evening, I want to title this sermon, Life and Light. Life and Light. I'm sure you can hear that come from the verse that I just read. You know, this time of the year is commonly understood by most people as the time of being merry, jolly, right? Sometimes people need a little bit of help to be merry and jolly, so they turn to eggnog or whatever else. It's also a time of family and friends. It's what it's known for by many, a time of food, really good food, and gift-giving. And also, if you even look around in this room, a time of Christmas lights. One tradition that we have for our family and for our home Bible study that we have during the week, one tradition that we have is every year we'll go out to the nice side of town and we'll walk around where you don't have to look over your shoulder, and we'll walk around and just enjoy all those Christmas decorations on the front of people's lawns and all over their houses. And this past week, as we did that as a family, it reminded me of this verse. And that's why I want to bring it to you tonight. It reminded me that, you know, Jesus is the light of men. And just as we decorate during this time and we have these often elaborate light decorations and orchestrations in the front of people's houses, maybe you have one in front of your house or on your patio or in your home. Just as how we do that year after year, it's a signal for us as God's people to remember that we are celebrating the dawn of light into this world. When Jesus was born, what he brought into this world was light. And that's why we have, I believe, these Christmas lights that are so common during this time. So my prayer tonight is that you would see the light of Christ as you receive his life. There's one old dead guy, a Puritan from way back. He said, you know, if physical light is pleasant to our eyes. So just imagine, you know, driving through town, or maybe you go to Christmas in the Park or wherever. If those lights are pleasant to your eyes, just think how pleasant that light of life that springs from Jesus Christ is. If those physical lights can make you feel a certain way and fill you with joy and almost like revive your heart in some sense, just think of what the true light of life can do to your soul. First of all, I want to look at the life of Christ, and that's at the very beginning of this verse. It says, in him was life. in him was life. And this is, of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. In Christ, he's called here in this section of Scripture, he's called the Word. But he's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. In him, there is life. What that means is that life is found in him, not in other things. It means that Jesus himself is not dependent on other exterior or outside forces or sources to sustain his life. He is self-generating and self-sustaining. The technical term for that is aseity. Aseity. And it comes from two Latin words, a, which is from, and se, which is self. So from self. It's this from selfness, if that's not even a word, but just humor me. It's this from selfness. It's the idea that Christ has life that comes from his self. In fact, all life comes from Christ. All life comes from God. He is the source of life. The verse right before this verse that we're looking at tonight says, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So all of creation, everything you see in your life comes from Christ. He's the creator and the sustainer of all life. And so, of course, life is in him. And so the reality is, for you and I, our very lives, our very existence itself is derived from God. Ours is a secondary life, a derived, dependent life on God, on Christ. He gives us life. That's stunning. Because I don't know about you, I get tired. I get groggy and dependent. I get hangry, right, when I don't eat. I need the next meal. I need the next breath. I need to sleep tonight. For us to continue living, we are so dependent. But Christ is not. He can keep going and going and going. Because he is life. In him was life. But this is not simply speaking of physical life, of course. It's also speaking of spiritual life, life itself, physical and spiritual. So what this is saying is that spiritual life, just like physical life is found only in God the Father, through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. The triune God is the source of your spiritual life. And the Father gives Christ to us, and the Holy Spirit communicates the life of Christ to us. You see, Christ came so that you might have life in him. And in fact, this is exactly why the Gospel of John, this book that we're looking at, this is why it was written. At the very end of this book that John wrote, it says in John 20, verse 31, it says, these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. You see, Christ came so that you would have life. And this book was written so that you might believe and then have life as a result. And that maybe that's why you're here. Maybe that's why God has sovereignly and providentially brought you here tonight, so that tonight maybe you might have life for the very first time. Not only is Christ the source of life, he is the life of men. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We have to ask ourselves, what's this connection between light and life? Between life and light. What's that connection? Well, one commentator says that the close connection between life and light is not really unexpected here, because in the physical world, life is dependent on light. And this idea here is transferred to the spiritual realm as well. Think of it like this. If you've ever had, or if you have, even now, an aquarium, or maybe you have a potted plant, right, that you're just trying to keep alive, or maybe you have some pet frog or something like that in a terrarium somewhere in your home. What's required for those things to live and to thrive? Light. Light. It needs light. That's why you always have a heat lamp or a lamp of some sort. That's why you take that precious potted plant that is just about to die, it's withering, and what do? You water it, and then you put it in the sun. You put it next to the window. Because light and life are so intrinsically connected, so it is with spiritual light and spiritual life. You see, it's not enough just to say or to know the fact that in Christ there is life, that there's life there in Him. That's not enough for us. That's not enough for you, dear friends. That life has to be transferred, has to be given to us. Because guess what? We're dead. We're spiritually dead. We don't have an ounce or a flicker of life in us when we're born. It's not that, you know, you had this light in you, the spiritual light, and then, you know, the trials of life and all this, the messed up stuff that you've gone through in your life has extinguished that light. No, you were born, I was born, we were all born without even a glimmer of light, without even a sliver of life in our souls. And so we desperately need that life of Christ to come to us and to give us life, spiritual life. And the way that John talks about that here in this verse is that he uses the word light. What does light do? It shines, right? Jesus says in a little bit farther on in this book, he says, "I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." It's amazing. It says, if you follow me, if you stop living for yourself and you place your faith in me and you follow me from here on out, you're going to have the light of life. Christ has life in himself, and he graciously radiates, he graciously emits his life to us like a light shines its beams upon the darkness. And this light is the only light that there is for mankind, because he says, and the life was the light of men. You see, Christ is not one of many lights in this world. It says explicitly, he is the light. He is the light of men. Now, if life is only found in Christ, then so also light is found only in Christ. This means then that apart from Christ, we are unable to have neither life nor light. This is exactly how the Bible describes our spiritual state in Matthew 4, celebrating the birth of Christ. It talks about this. It says the people, that's us, that's you and me, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. So we are in darkness and we are in death. But Christ is life and Christ is light. And into that darkness of our soul, into the darkness of this world, this fallen world, the light of life has come. We see that in the next verse after this verse, in verse 5, we see there that Christ, the light of men, came into the world and he shone in the darkness of this world. In John 1:5, the next verse says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it." What's interesting is that little phrase, "the darkness did not overtake it." That must mean that it tried, right? It means that the darkness tried to overtake the light of Christ. You see, when Christ came into this world, the darkness of sin, the darkness of mankind hated what they saw. Why? Because sin loves the darkness. Evil loves to hide in the shadows. But when Christ came, he came and brought light. And what light does is it scatters darkness. And it exposes evil. It confronts our sin. And we don't like that if we're left to ourselves, if we're honest. We don't like it when our sin's exposed. We don't like it when we're laid bare before God and we have nowhere to hide and we feel that guilt before him. That's not a fun thing. And so, in response to that light, sinful man killed this light, killed Christ. That's what happened there on the cross. You see, they tried their hardest. And we with them, we would have done the same thing. We're no better, right? We would have swung the hammer that nailed, that put that nail into his feet and into his hands. We would have done it ourselves if we were there, if we could have. And they tried their hardest to extinguish the light of Christ there on the cross. And yet what's amazing is that when Christ died there on the cross, though it seemed to be that the darkness had won against the light, that it really did overcome this light that had come, we know that this was exactly how the life of Christ would become ours. He had to die on the cross. This was how the light would shine most brightly. There on the cross. How is that so? Because it looks like failure, right? I mean, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but that was just a stepping stone to the cross. That was the first step into this world to the cross. So how is it when he got to the cross that that's not a failure? Well, it's because light shines brightest when things are darkest. That's why. You see, it doesn't get any darker than the crucifixion of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. That was the most terrible, wicked, hateful, evil, and sinful act of all mankind for all time. Nothing tops that. You know, it's often said, why do bad things happen to good people? That never happens except for this. There's never been anybody good, truly good in this world besides Christ. And so only when Christ died on the cross did bad things happen to a good person. And why did he do that? Why was he born so that he might die on the cross? Why did he die on the cross, you might ask? He died so that you might have life in him, dear friends. He died to shine the light of his life into our dead, dark hearts. He died so that you might have spiritual life and see the glorious light of Christ. But in order to have that, in order to have life, in order to see the light of Christ, in order to, you know, as it were, when you go and look at those Christmas lights, in order to enjoy them, you have to open your eyes, right? With Christ, in order to enjoy him, in order to see him, you have to have faith. You must believe in him. Not believe facts about him, but you must trust him with your soul. That's what faith is. I'm trusting you that you alone are going to get me to heaven, and that if I follow you, you will take care of me, you will love me, and you will forgive me. I trust you, Jesus. You must believe that. You must believe that apart from him, you are dead in your sins. You must believe that Christ alone can give you light and life. You must believe Jesus when he says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Are you tired of the darkness of your life? Are you tired of just having no spiritual relationship with God? Do you want that? Then you must come to Christ and you must believe in him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. One last quote from a renowned preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He tells us this: in white light, all the colors are blended. If you've ever done, you know, a science class, you've seen this, right? In white light, all the colors are blended together. A perfectly white light combines all the colors of the rainbow, merge in true proportion. But green and indigo and red are only the reflections of a part of the solar rays. And so he says, relating this to Christ, so if you want to get the whole, all of the rays of light, if you want to get all of the life of God, if you want to see all of God that he is and can be for you, then you must get to Christ. For all light is in him. In him is not simply the red or the blue, but in him is light. He is the light of men, the true light, the whole of light. Jesus is the light of men. Light is meant to be seen. So my prayer is that you would see Christ tonight and receive him, receive his life. Stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to see Christ in his glory. Lord, I pray that we as believers would desire to look intently upon Christ and to not look away, not be distracted, especially during this season, Lord. Help us to focus on Christ. He is truly the reason of the season. And Lord, I pray that if there's any among us that do not know you, has never seen you the way that we have, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. I pray that they would believe upon Christ, that he died in their place for their sins, so that they might have life and see the light of Christ. I pray that you would do that even tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified as we continue to celebrate tonight and sing these wonderful songs. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.